Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild krats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wild Krats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, the 27th day of September 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. 103.3 FM, if you're listening in Durango, Colorado, and everywhere else on the planet, you can tune in from our website always, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you're all with us this morning. This morning, my guest, Dr. Kim Mizell, is here from the Bloomfield School District. We'll get an update on how the school year is off to a pretty good start in Bloomfield, and much, much more coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on, we'll check in with Amber Francisco this hour from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. Amber will be talking to us about some of the pets available for adoption this week, including Jerry, the pretty good-looking dog you see on the screen right there. You'll learn more about him and some other animals coming up today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, it's our classical music program, Roving with the Arts. Mick Hess this morning is featuring music from Mozart. And we remind you to also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a sunny Tuesday morning, 57 degrees at the moment. We're expecting a mostly sunny morning, maybe some increasing clouds this afternoon, and maybe a scattered shower, but I kind of doubt it. 82, though, for a high today in Farmington, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 57. Partly sunny again tomorrow, 81 for a high on Wednesday, 80 and partly sunny skies on Thursday. Sunshine, 79 on Friday, mid-70s for the weekend, and overnight lows, it's feeling like fall in the air in the lower 50s. Well, let me introduce my guest who is back in the studio with me for the first time in a while, I think. Dr. Kim Mizell from Bloomfield Schools is back with me. Good morning, and it's nice to see you in person.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I usually just see you in your office, which you've been able to connect remotely with me, but it's great to actually have you here in the studio with me to talk about Bloomfield Schools and the school year off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, we're doing great. Moving along. We're working on some issues with transportation, our busing situation. We need bus drivers.
Okay.
I'm going to plug that real fast. There's always a position or a job in bus driving in Bloomfield right now. But other than that, we're doing all right.
Very good. Well, let's talk about hiring, because I know your district isn't immune from the issues going on across the nation, really, with shortages and things like that. And so bus drivers for Bluefield is one of the shortages. You need some other folks too, though, right?
Yeah, hard to fill positions. Mm-hmm. Bilingual classroom, special ed, Navajo language teachers. So we're always looking for those specialty type teachers, and they're also more challenging to fill those positions than a regular teaching position. But it's even extended all the way out to, you know, science, math, English, you know. Education is struggling, but the raises this year hopefully will encourage people to go into teaching profession, and it's been good to me.
Right.
So I would recommend it for people that are interested in working with young students and children. So
the state seems to be doing a lot of things to incentivize teaching and helping people get into education. And we've heard about some of the licensure programs and things like that for folks who maybe already have a bachelor's degree. It's fairly, I don't want to say fairly simple, but the state's making it, I think, pretty easy to try to get them back into the classroom if that's what they'd like to do.
Right. They're trying to fast track a lot.
That's the term maybe I'm looking for.
Yeah, they're fast tracking a lot of people, even people with just different degrees. If they have an area where their specialty might be math oriented, they could become a math teacher. So I've just read an article from the Secretary of Education. I think they're approving like 500 licenses a week, which is a lot.
That should help.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Right.
As it trickles down.
So it could be educational assistants, teachers, all different kinds of positions. So they beefed up their licensure department to process people quickly. So hopefully we'll start seeing more results with that.
Very good. Well, and I know if someone is really serious about wanting to go back to school to get certification or figure out what they need to become a certified teacher, I know there's a lot of opportunities to fast track and to have it, I think, mostly paid for in some cases. It just depends on the situation. But certainly the state is being very generous, I think, with some of these programs.
Yeah, there's programs if you want to go back to college and you already have a degree, or even if you don't have your degree yet, there's ways to get that degree and pretty much paid for.
Right.
San Juan College has a good program, and like our educational assistants in our school districts, they are participating in a teacher prep program, so through San Juan College. So there's a lot of great opportunities out there, and I want to encourage people to go into education. It's a steady income. It's a great place to work usually, and we're doing some great things with students. So.
Right. And you get that 9-month schedule in some cases.
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
I know you don't.
And I work year-round.
And a lot of teachers would say they spend the summers prepping for
right.
fall.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the summer. And many teachers come in over the weekends to prep for the next week. That's kind of a little bit of a misunderstanding through the public that teachers put in their time. They definitely
do. Oh,
in
believe
order
me.
To
yes.
get things ready. I know as a teacher, I came in every other weekend and prep for 2 weeks every weekend to get ready for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
So, and then after school, you know, there's grading and there's things that you do that you take home. So
true. Yeah, but if you want to do something over the summer,
you could
have a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, I think, significant, because most jobs, you don't have the flexibility to maybe take a few months off
for a few
weeks. You
get like Thanksgiving, Christmas,
yes.
and spring break, and then the summer. So there's some nice breaks in between. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a decent schedule that way.
Right. Very true. You talked about bus drivers, and I know you have some openings, and so that is a challenge. And so I'd imagine you're having to maybe double up on routes or send buses out maybe twice or multiple times.
Sometimes we have three routes.
I'm wondering how you're able to manage.
We have people in the system right now that we're just working on getting their license to be a bus driver. And I think they're scheduled to be sometime in October, so that will relieve the situation. But it's been quite challenging this year.
Gotcha.
We used to have like 18 bus drivers, and we were down to, I think, 9.
That's, yeah.
Significant.
That's half. Mm-hmm. And it's early, and I'm doing math, but that I can figure that out. But that is half of your staff.
You're correct on your math skills.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
we've been really struggling with it.
Gotcha.
And I appreciate all the families, you know, hopefully for their understanding and giving us some grace in this situation, because there's not a good solution. And we've just really struggled, but we've done a lot of recruiting and hiring, and hopefully we'll get
it. So the message this morning is that, change and for the better is coming.
Yes, we hope in
October. So that's what's happening. But I know in Bloomfield, some of your bus routes are probably some of the longest in the county from where your buses have to go.
We have some that come in from Lybrook all the way out there, and they come in and then they have to go back out to pick up other kids. So they're picking kids up very early in the morning. And the back and forth route, that's the one bus that we're struggling with coming in later, late to school. And we even moved our start times an extra 15 minutes to try to accommodate for that. And I think it's maybe alleviated some of the problems, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. But hopefully, as you mentioned, you've got folks in the pipeline as they get trained and licensed to drive the buses. And so by next month, hopefully this will be a non-issue even before the bad weather comes in too. And you'll have all your buses staffed and ready to go. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. Okay. The other thing to keep our fingers crossed about is the Bobcat football team.
Yes. Yes. We're undefeated.
Undefeated. How about that? Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Very exciting, but I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm just going to, we have a very talented group of athletes, and the biggest lineman we've ever had in Bloomfield. I mean, I think the smallest guy starts at 215.
Wow.
And they're like 6'2 and up.
Okay.
And when we had one young man who broke the school record with a deadlift of 400 pounds, I mean, they're big. Big lineman.
Yeah.
And so that helps.
That does help. That's
helps with
true.
Your running game
right.
and everything else. So they're exciting to watch. They have a nice passing game and good defense, really strong defense this year. So it's kind of like the package that you want for football, but we're all excited about them.
Well,
so hopefully
congratulations.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Right. We don't want to jinx anything, but off to a good start.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
And so, but if you're looking for some pretty good high school football, it sounds like a Bobcat game may be one to take in.
They're fun to watch.
Very, very good. You're looking at some data that has been coming in about your students and how well they are doing coming out of COVID. I know administrators in every district are poring over the data to kind of see how kids are doing. There was concern that maybe there was a lot of learning loss and things like that. And so what's the data telling you in Bloomfield?
Well, we're pleasantly surprised. We did not have the regression that I'm hearing happened in other districts. So that's a real exciting point, because basically we either increased or maintained proficiency with the number of students. Of course, there's two different tests, so you kind of have to say, it's apples to oranges, but it's a baseline data that we can start looking at how we're progressing and our students are doing. So, I'm very pleased with the work that the teachers did and the district's work on online and virtual learning. We worked really hard to get a program together that it was consistent K-12. We now have one-to-one computers pre-K to 12th grade. So kids have access to information and learning 24/7, basically, if they want it. And we have some programs that are home learning tools that reinforce development of language and supporting the students at home. So I'm hoping that the combination of things will only move us further ahead with our student data. But we were really pleasantly surprised. We only had two grade levels. I think it was seventh grade in math and then third grade in reading. And so it was kind of expected with some of the third grade group, because they didn't have the one-to-one early on. So they didn't have that benefit. We got it the next year. So there was a little bit, that group, the third and fourth grade groups are the ones that I keep watching, because I think that they had the worst impact from COVID. So, we're excited about the data, though. It's good.
Good. Well, sounds like pleasantly surprised, as you mentioned. And the computers, I guess, is maybe one of the more positive things to come out of the pandemic, because with some extra funds, you were able to do that for your students.
Well, it was school funds.
Yes.
We committed, and then we actually got the funds because we knew there was going to be a problem. But yeah, and we also have a tech note that we're able to replenish our technology each year, which is very helpful, and we're appreciative of the community for that.
That's a bond issue that voters have approved,
It's
right? Or not
no,
a bond?
it
And
happens, and it does impact it does impact their bill a little bit,
I gotcha.
but we wouldn't have been able to we sustain what we have if we hadn't have done that.
Okay.
So it's helpful.
But you've never, but before COVID, you haven't been able to do that for all of your students. So this is certainly a new, going forward, a new tool for all your students to be able to have.
And I think the real benefit of it is, as teachers and educators, we figured out that we can do it if we have to. We prefer to be face to face with our students and have that connection, but it is doable. And so, for example, we put in this year a half day every Monday, so we will not have any snow days. So everything will be virtual on those days if it snows. And I have a feeling we're going to have a rough winter.
Okay.
So
Uh-oh.
I'm gearing up for it. I'm putting out announcements. Make sure
Okay.
you take your computers home.
Right. And so I
So.
know, and that, but that brings up the other issue of connectivity and internet access. And so, and we had heard not just Bloomfield, but a lot of districts were discovering families that didn't maybe have internet access at home and had to come up with other innovative ways. And that's still true, I think, for some of your
Yes,
families.
we.
But if they have the computer, at least they have that tool, I guess, even if they're offline, to do some work, right?
Yeah, I mean, they probably could work on like a project or paper or
Yeah.
whatever, but we'll provide hotspots if there is a need.
Okay.
We've done that throughout this whole thing. We do have some teachers that don't even have internet,
Right.
so, and we had some educational assistants that needed some help. If the thing is, on snow days, if you're a teacher, you're going to be required to teach online, so they're going to have to figure that one out.
Right.
So,
But you have some tools to help with that if
if they
necessary.
need it.
So, well, that's good. And the data, as you mentioned before, as you're kind of pouring through it, like every other district, to kind of see where your kids are, will this provide maybe a new baseline moving forward then, so it can be more apples to apples in the future from what you have now?
Yes, yeah, it's going to be a baseline data for us, and a lot of our planning and goals will be based on that data. So, for example, you would set a goal of 30% proficiency, and I mean, we understand that proficiency is not where it needs to be, but Bloomfield did not have near the regression that we've heard from other districts. So, we've done a decent job with sustaining our student progress and proficiency. So,
Right.
and obviously, we'd love to have 100% proficient and doing well, but that's a long way down the road, and we have a lot of work still cut out for us. So,
Right. But are there any districts in New Mexico that have 100%? I imagine, and if there are, they're very few.
the closest to that would be Los Alamos
Yeah.
School District. They're the highest achieving. Rio Rancho does pretty well. So they're a high achieving district, but all of us kind of suffered a blow. At the high school level, we look at graduation rates, and our graduation rates are in line demographically across the board. Students are graduating about at 84%, which
Right.
is nice. We put some positions in place to catch the other 16% with monitoring and support. So hopefully that will pay off this year and the next year to find those students and to support them through the process.
Right. Well, and you have your ongoing incentive, I know, for grade point averages that I always
That's
have to ask you
right.
about. But this school year is no different from previous. You've got great support from local business to offer a new to them car for students at the end of the school year, who maybe have a high GPA and win a drawing, right? And
Yes, students from 9th grade to 12th grade at Bloomfield High School and Charlie Y. Brown are eligible, and if they have a 3.5 GPA or higher, they'll be put into a pool for a drawing at the end of school,
Right.
and they can win a vehicle. We have two vehicles. One is a Ford Escape, and then another one is a Ford a Lincoln, which is really a nice car. Has leather interior and everything, and I was like, very, very fortunate to get that
That almost
vehicle.
became a fleet vehicle. You
Yeah, I was
had to look
like,
at it a
this
couple
is
times.
almost too nice, but
It's going to a student.
And it's a contribution from Ford Zymes. Mm-hmm. You know, they are such wonderful partners there, and they really have worked with me for the last 8 years. And so we have this nice partnership, and I really appreciate that. So,
very exciting. Yeah. Well, I hope you can park it maybe, I don't know, somewhere outside the schools or something to let the kids see them.
Well, we had it in the parade.
Okay, good.
Homecoming parade, smart. Advertising it.
Okay. And let the kids see what's out there. Right.
And park it in front of the high school and just remind them that, you know, you too can win this vehicle.
That's so right. That's right.
I had taken the Lincoln to the high school and kids walk by, that's a nice car, and I said, well, you can win it if you get a 3.5 or higher.
Right.
And so a couple of them sat in it, and they were looking at it, and they're imagining what it would be like. So
right.
I was trying to give them some incentive that way.
That should do it, I think. Right. So right. Whatever it takes,
right.
I think, in some cases.
I think it's paying off. You know, there's a lot of kids that have a 3.5 or higher at the end of the year, and we have a drawing that their names are all on a wheel, and we mm-hmm. spin it, and that's who wins. They have to be present to win, though.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. Well, and I can only imagine at those events what excitement there is in the auditorium and for the students that actually win. I mean, it can be life changing for some of your students.
Right.
I'm sure it has been.
Yeah.
You've heard the stories.
And you know what? It's amazing. I just think there's some divine intervention there, because the kids that really need it usually get the cars. And, you know, it's impressed me that, you know, these are families that could need a vehicle, or the stories that I've had happen.
Sure.
You know, this last year I had a set of twins that one of the twins won the vehicle. So when they were celebrating, this is our car, you know, and they're really sweet little girls, and they play soccer, and I asked them the other day, I said, do you have your driver's license yet? And they don't. So I don't know who's driving the car, probably mom. But
right.
Anyway, they were.
But I imagine that's going to be rectified pretty quickly. If you win a car, you're probably going to get that license.
Yeah. Right. So it was just, it's always a wonderful celebration. So
right.
Yeah, we enjoy that, doing that. And this year I was kind of stressing because used cars are kind of hard to find. And
right.
So, but
well,
not... Zymes came through for me again, so I just appreciate their efforts.
Right. Nice to have a community partner like that.
Right.
To do this for the mm-hmm. last 8 years, you said, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's becoming quite the tradition over at Bloomfield Schools.
Right. So we've given away 16 cars.
Right. That's amazing.
Over that time period. So.
Well, congratulations. And again, it's a great thing that came. I think that was your idea, right? Because the...
Actually, no.
I have to give credit okay.
to my school board president, Dale Mays. When he was in high school, it started out as perfect attendance, but with COVID, we changed it to GPA. But mm-hmm. in high school, they had said you could win a car if you had perfect attendance. So he went to school every day, and he was there the last day of school, and there was no car to give away.
Oh, dear.
So he was, I think somebody maybe tormented him a little bit, but... Anyway, he always remembered that, and so he wanted to see if there was anything we could do. So I kind of started looking for opportunities and
okay.
landed where I landed, and it's been wonderful since. So
right. Yeah. Well, congratulations once again. I always like asking you about it because I think it's such a unique idea, and again, as you've said, it changes, I think it, in many cases, it changes the lives of these students who win this car, because maybe the families couldn't provide a car for their students, or the kids just thought, well, I'll scrimp and save, and maybe I'll be able to afford a car eventually, and this really changes a lot of things for them.
Well, and it kind of changes the culture of the school itself. I mean, a little more academic-based.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids, if they work hard, they can accomplish something that they never thought they could. So I think it's a good thing. And a lot of people, there's a lot of pressure to take it back to perfect attendance, and we'll see, because there's a lot of students that do the 3.5 or higher.
Right.
Now. It's
well, that's a good, that's
it's see, a wonderful,
careful what you wish for, Dr. Mizell.
Thing. Yeah, right. Yeah. So I might split it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do one for perfect attendance and one for the GPA, something like that next year, but we'll see.
Got it. Stay tuned. As we say in the radio business, stay tuned,
right?
Things are still evolving there at Bloomfield Schools. Before we run out of time this morning, just want to look ahead at the rest of the school year, the first half, of course. And so just students are in class, and everyone's excited that we're back face to face, and look, this fall looks better than last fall, knock on wood. And so I think all these are positive things.
Right. You know, the energy is really great in the schools right now. And, you know, the students, I think they're just happy to be back in school. And then you all of a sudden have the issues of being back in school.
Right.
And some of the things that are coming up, it's like they just haven't had a lot of social interaction maybe. And I think a lot of students struggle around that. And so this
I think they do anyway.
Well, they do, but I think it's amplified because this is one of those things where peer pressure actually can be a good thing, because some of the things that they do and say in class now, you know, before they would just say them and not think about the consequences or what might happen, where your other students might say, well, why'd you do that? Or they'd question it. Well, they didn't ever have anyone questioning them. And so some of those behaviors of just no boundaries, saying what they think, and hurtful sometimes, and some of the social media impacts, we're having to deal with quite a bit of that. So, and then with the little ones, they just haven't had that social interaction, and so they're coming in a little hard to deal with, because there's separation from their moms and dads and families, and
who they've been with for two plus years, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a different challenge that we're having to face, and so we have a behavioral health person that we hired to support some of that work in our schools, and we have social workers in every school. So, you know, we're trying to get ahead of it and address it when we can, and get the parents involved with how we can maneuver and support the students to be successful. But it's a challenge right now. So we're working on it, though.
Right. Well, it's uncharted territory for a lot of us, I think, as we come out of the last couple of years.
Right. And so that was something that we were a little bit worried about, and it's kind of come to truth.
Right. Gotcha. Any advice for parents or guardians to help with this a little bit, if they think their little one's having some difficulties?
Show up and be engaged with your kids. You know, make sure you're reading with them. They need to hear your voice in the text that they're reading, and if they need help, don't be afraid to advocate for them through the schools. You're the only advocate for your child. And, you know, we're wanting to be a partner always with the parents. And so just want to encourage them to work with us, not against us, with us, because sometimes parents, the reality is they think we're just trying to address the behaviors and stuff, but really we're trying to put a team of people together to support that child. And if they don't agree to that, sometimes that becomes a problem for all of us. And so I think the important thing is to go into it that we're your partner, and, you know, we want to hear what you have to say, but we also have to give recommendations and figure things out as well. So
right.
Definitely advocate for your child.
Okay, very good. Dr. Mizell, great to see you in person, as I mentioned, and thank you for coming in and committing to being here during the school year. I really appreciate these updates.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
You bet. Good to see you. Dr. Kim Mizell, Superintendent of Bloomfield Schools, my guest this morning here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello, my name is Emin Chi from the Student Achievement Center. We are bringing you week 6 of Coaching Tips of the Week. Learning new information, students learn new ideas by relating them to what they already know, and then transferring them into their long-term memory. Meaningful practice with content can both cement student learning and making it easier for students to remember content in the future, enabling them to tackle increasingly complex challenges. The more knowledge that students have about a specific problem, the easier it will be for them to recognize the important aspects of the problem and how to solve it.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by the Aztec Highland Games and Celtic Music Festival, happening October 1st and 2nd at Riverside Park in Aztec. heavy athletic competition, the Highland Dance Competition, clans, food and music featuring Angus Moore, and other regional entertainment. Find out more about the Aztec Highland Games and Celtic Music Festival, October 1st and 2nd, at AztecHighlandGames.com. KSJE is supported by Aztec Motocross. Located on Highway 173, Aztec Motocross offers a safe and competitive racing environment for the growing off-road and outdoor industry. Upcoming racing weekends, September 24th and 25th, and October 22nd and 23rd. Also, the New Mexico State Championship Motocross Race Series, October 8th and 9th. Find out more online at AztecMotocross.com or 505-393-5222. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.